Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Of the many things that ought to concern us about China, and there are many things, one of the most concerning is China's treatment of the Uyghurs, a mostly Muslim, and I think an indigenous group to one area in China. There are re-education camps. There are rumors of rapes and of things that are unspeakable. Why is this still happening in the 21st century? And what has the newly elected President Biden, what has he said about this situation and China's treatment of the Uyghurs? Joining us to discuss President Biden and the persecution of the Uyghurs in China, Nina Shea. She's director of the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom and author of a recent column for First Things titled Biden's China Choice. Nina, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thanks, Todd.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo recently called China's treatment of the Uyghurs and other Muslims genocide. Why did he say this?
Yeah, well, actually, he was Secretary of State when he did it. And what it was making a formal determination as Secretary of State that the Chinese government, this Communist Party-run government, is committing genocide against the Uyghur Muslim minority in Xinjiang and other Muslim minorities in Xinjiang as well. And he determined this because of new evidence. There was a raft of evidence of atrocities and new evidence that really put it over the line that came to the surface in the first part of last year. It was compiled, it was checked out by this Global Criminal Justice Office that this was a genocide. It fit in the definition of the International Convention Against Genocide of 1948. And that is that women were being sterilized. The population was being prevented or stunted in its ability to reproduce. And it was being eradicated in that cold-blooded, if you will, method of population control rather than the mass killings that we think of in the Holocaust. But it was mass sterilization, forced birth control, and forced abortions on women held in these massive detention camps or labor camps that you mentioned. And these were women that were taken in, rounded up, because they overstepped the population or birth control restrictions set by the government of China on them. And these were restrictions that were below replacement level and were discriminatory. They're much more stringent than the majority Han people of China, the ethnic Han people. And as a result of these new documents that the State Department found in open sources, they were published by the Chinese government, the birth rates of these Uyghur Muslim minority dropped 24% over 1 year between 2018 and 2019, compared with a 4.2% decline in China overall. So it was very stark that they're trying to eradicate this minority through these means.
Who are the Uyghurs?
Well, the Uyghurs are a Turkic ethnic group who are almost entirely Muslim. And Turkic, of course, is, you know, Central Asia, it's the Turkey, it's that kind of ethnicity. And they live in the western part of China. And really a very key point to remember, Todd, is that China's embarked on a big building project, roads project to trade throughout their area, through their territory. And they have been accused of being separatists and of terrorism. There were some terror incidents among them, but certainly not all of them. A million of them, and our Defense Department said 1 to 3 million, based on the satellite photographs, have been detained without charge in these re-education camps. The Chinese government uses the Orwellian term vocational training camps for help them find jobs. In fact, it is a brainwashing camp, a detention camp for the purposes of re-indoctrination so that they will no longer be religious, that they will give up their religion. Over 1,000 of their houses of worship, their mosques, have been destroyed. That's 2/3 of them in Xinjiang by the Chinese government. And this is, you know, it's an important point to remember that this is a government, a state actor doing this. This isn't just a terror group going around. It's actually a deliberate government policy of the Chinese Communist Party of China. So they are being targeted for forcible assimilation. And if they fail to assimilate and reduce in numbers, then they're put in these camps and brainwashed and then forced to do slave labor.
You say that Pompeo's statement about genocide is the single most important U.S. human rights measure in the last 4 years. Why do you say that, Nina?
Because since the Holocaust, the American people have viewed genocide as being the most heinous human rights crime, and one that we solemnly vowed we would not allow ourselves to stand by passively while it happened. Never again is the slogan. And there is an international consensus because of the UN's Genocide Convention of 1948, and that the United States is a party to. So both in law and in national perception, it's an American value that we're not going to be quiet, we're not going to do business as usual with countries that are committing genocide. And so our Secretary of State then, in January 19th, the day before the transition to the Biden administration, the Secretary of State of the United States formally pronounced this a genocide. I talked to his ambassador for criminal justice, and they said that they began this work when the documents surfaced, the government documents showing the plunging birth rates as a result of their government policies for this minority group. As soon as they surfaced in, you know, mid-spring of 2020, they got on it and started compiling a record. And it took several months for it all to be filtered through and processed and understood properly and analyzed. And the brief was prepared and it got out in time before he left.
Has the Biden administration signaled its stance on the Uyghur situation in China?
Well, during the campaign, President Biden, then just Joe Biden, was signaling that he was very seriously concerned by what he was hearing about the detention camps. Very few people, Todd, understood the complexity of these forcible birth control measures and forced abortions. People didn't know about it, and they heard about it anecdotally, but didn't know that it was a government policy until really the Pompeo statement came out. So he was focusing on the detention camps and saying he was very troubled. Since then, he has sent a message through his press spokesperson that he agrees with it, with the Pompeo finding, and so has the new Secretary of State, Pompeo's replacement, Antony Blinken. Secretary Blinken has said that he agrees with it. So they agree with it. The problem is, will they quietly go about business as usual and let it drop, or will they actually take a policy measure? And the heavy stigma of genocide requires some kind of policy response. So that is going to be a test. It's very unfortunate that there'll be a test for the Biden administration, whether they will take this seriously, whether they'll take religious freedom. This is a religious freedom issue, too, in addition to just an ethnic issue. It's an ethno-religious genocide because they are a Muslim minority and the Chinese are, you know, majority atheists, officially atheists, and traditionally Buddhists. So the UN Secretary General Guterres, a few days after the Pompeo statement, determination, he said to both China and the United States, that is the Biden administration, that they should put aside their differences on human rights, including genocide, putting aside differences on genocide, and get along in a partnership to fight climate change. And so that's my concern, is that the Biden administration might feel that they are going to trade off their priorities and going to quietly drop the genocide concern and designation or determination in favor of developing a partnership with the government that's committing genocide to fight climate change. Climate change is an important issue, important concern, but, you know, this is a basic American value to speak up and to take action to stop a genocide or to ameliorate the situation in any way we can.
Why does China view the Uyghurs as a threat?
China views every religion as a threat, Todd, and we're seeing it now with the Christians as well, with the complete control of the Catholic Church, banning all Christians, no matter what church, minors, young people, people under 18 years old cannot be exposed to religion now in China, officially by law. They cannot go to church, they cannot get baptized, they can't go to Bible camp. They are banned from religion officially by the Chinese policy as of 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So there won't be much of a Christian church there in two generations once, if this sticks, because if children, there won't be anyone under 18 is banned from exposure to religion. It'll be a much smaller church. This is one of the most robust, burgeoning churches in terms of growth in the world. Some think that there are 100 million Christians in China. Some think that there are even more than that. And this is all very new over the last, you know, recent decades, since really the late 80s, that this has taken off like this. And it's going to do a U-turn. We're going to see a steep decline if this continues to hold. And they seem to be very serious about it. They're also retranslating the Bible, which scares me very much, because we have most of our Bibles, Todd, are actually printed in a single shop or a major factory in China. This is a company that's Amity Printing that is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So they're going to retranslate it or reinterpret the Bible according to Chinese communist principles. That we know. They've announced that it's in process. You know, they have also persecuted horribly the Falun Gong. There's lots of incidents of organ harvesting, that is, taking out people's organs while they're alive, healthy organs, in order to sell them to the transplant trade or transplant tourists. And plus mass incarceration, killings, disappearances, that's Falun Gong. Tibetan Buddhists, they can't tolerate them. They're picking their leaders. Most of the Tibetan Buddhists these days are in exile in India. And so it goes on and on.
Why does the Communist Party of China view all religion as such a threat?
Well, they want control of ideology, and they want to have their ideology, the Chinese communist ideology. They don't want questioning. They don't want dissent. They don't want different opinions or views. It's a thought control. And they have a well-known practice of re-education camps for Christians, and not on the massive scale we're seeing in Xinjiang, in the western province for the Muslims, but I think that the day will come when we will see that. The churches and these houses of worship, these religious groups, communities, organizations, are really the only ones with a distinct separateness in the entire country with institutional support from the Communist Party. So there aren't, you know, human rights groups or, you know, that are separate from the Communist Party, or labor groups or political parties. I mean, there is independent journalism. There is no institutional support for separate ways of thinking other than the churches and the religious organizations of other groups. So they are targeting them to eliminate them so that there's totalitarian control, really, of the minds and actions of everyone in the country. And this is reinforced with high-tech surveillance, quantum computing that processes the facial recognition camera and putting it on people's credit scores so that they get shut out and canceled in any way they can, which is almost every way since the government controls a lot of the sectors. So it's, you know, schools or planes or public transportation, credit cards. So this is why they're going after the religious groups, because they're almost alone in this. They are pretty much alone in this space of giving institutional support for an ideology that's different from the thinking of the Communist Party.
Tell us about a recent tweet from China's Washington embassy that was later deleted.
Yeah, so this was a tweet from the Beijing embassy in Washington, D.C. This was in response that, first of all, there was after it became apparent in mid-2020 that this forced sterilization, forced abortions, forced birth control, in the most brutal means of these Uyghur women, last September, President Xi of China declared that Xinjiang's strategy is, quote, totally correct and must go on for a long time. So he was totally unapologetic and doubled down. And then the embassy, in sort of the same vein and taking it even further, tweeted something on January 7th, probably knowing through their spies and surveillance that Secretary Pompeo was going to come out with a genocide determination just, you know, 10 days later, saying that the minds of Uyghur women in Xinjiang were emancipated and gender equality and reproductive health were promoted, making them no longer baby-making machines. They are more confident and independent. So that was the tweet. And it really reminded me of the Nazi sign on the gates of Auschwitz, work sets you free, to say that these brutal, horrific means of forced abortions and brutal methods of sterilization were going to be, in the prisons of these detained women, were going to make them no longer baby-making machines, but this was to promote their gender equality, and they're now more confident and independent. It's horrifying, it's obscene, and it shows the mentality of this government that this is their diplomat, this is their ambassador's Twitter feed to the most important country for them in the world, the United States. It's very horrifying. It seemed consciously patterned after the Auschwitz sign, which was so chilling. Twitter did take it down and suspended their Twitter feed the next day. So I wasn't the only one who was horrified by what I read.
So you mentioned earlier that the designation of genocide requires a policy response. What kind of response is required of the U.S. to China's treatment of the Uyghurs?
There's no required specified response. There's nothing in particular that must be done, but there are lots of things that can be done. People are talking about moving the Olympics. It's the Winter Olympics from China in a year or two, maybe moving it to another venue or boycotting it. Secretary Pompeo had already put some sanctions on officials in Xinjiang that were responsible for this torture and atrocities for the genocide. There can be a lot more put on. There can be economic sanctions. It could be expanded beyond Xinjiang to Beijing or other areas. There were some customs restrictions on exporting goods into or electronic surveillance equipment from the United States back and forth to China in Xinjiang. There could be more of that kind of thing, especially American companies using products that were processed in the slave labor factories by these Uyghur people. So there have been another number of companies that have been singled out. And they have, I don't believe they've been sanctioned in any way or restricted in any way from doing business there. But that's an obvious one.
Nina Shea is director of the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom. She's author of a recent column for First Things titled Biden's China Choice. You'll find a link to this column and to the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Nina, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the New Testament manuscripts, talking with Dr. Craig Evans about Jesus in rabbinic, Islamic, and popular Christian traditions. And we'll discuss Moses' farewell address with Dr. Ken Sherb. We'll also respond to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.